Other questions from council before we move on? Mary, did you have anything you would like to add? Mary Costigan, our city attorney.
I just want to, just one clarifying point, only because there's been a lot of information. When you're talking about boards doing an analysis of the gap, et cetera, what you're talking about is demonstrating the effective prohibition. So just so folks are clear, like, you know, you have zoning where you can decide where and when these facilities can be located. And that is, you're not prohibiting it, you're allowing it, but you're allowing it in certain areas. The gap discussion comes into play when someone comes into town and says, I want to put it in a place where your zoning ordinance says I can't be. And you're effectively prohibiting me from being there. So I just wanted to be clear that when we're taught, it's not that every time someone comes in for an application, you have to do this crazy, you know, complicated gap analysis. I think you're putting a lot of faith in our boards to be able to do that type of analysis. But I just want to be clear that that's not every time. It's only when they want to go somewhere where it is actually not permitted and you're effectively prohibiting them. And then you have to go through that analysis. I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah. To make it clearer, there are two specific types of factual determinations your board can be required to make. The first is a determination under your local code. A typical local zoning code will take into account if somebody's going to build a 150-foot cell tower, will it have a significant adverse aesthetic impact on surrounding, adjacent, or nearby properties? Will it reduce property values? Will it be inconsistent with the character of the neighborhood? Will it adversely impact a historic resource or an aesthetic resource? Does it have a sufficient fall zone? Any one of these grounds can be used as a basis for denial of an application, just like any other zoning application. The grounds for denying these applications don't come from federal law. It comes from your local code. Now, if and only if the applicant comes in and now says, oh, by the way, this is for carrier Verizon or AT&T or whoever, who has a significant gap in coverage. And here's a propagation map we generated using software on our computer. And here's a letter from an RF engineer saying it has to go here because no other site would meet our coverage objectives. Then your board must also make determinations. Have they established that an identified carrier has a significant gap in personal wireless services? And have they established that this is the only viable means of remedying that gap? It goes further. If it's a small wireless facility, there's a whole nother ball of wax. Then you got to determine whether or not there's a material inhibition. I can talk about that later, but I've already taken up too much of your time. I really want to get questions. I don't want to monopolize your time, but again, I'm trying to answer the questions fully.
Yep. So. Gotcha, Andrew. Take a breath, Andrew. I'm going to open it up to